it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Reset with your host, Radio Mike. Mesdames et messieurs, vous écoutez à Reset avec votre animateur, Radio Mike.
All right, hello and welcome to episode 9 of Reset. We're here and we're getting ready to talk about Halo Wars, one of the newer releases this month on the Xbox 360. And I have with me today, Lawrence.
Hello.
And I also, he's black. I also have today with me a special guest, Chris.
Yo.
So, guys, we're going to get here and we're going to talk about Halo Wars, released on the Xbox 360 on March 3rd from Ensemble Studios. Thoughts about Ensemble?
Well, it would have been nice to, you know that, like, after they did this game, because it's a very good game, I'll say right off the bat. But, it would have been nice to know that they were working on another project or getting into doing more stuff in relation to this project. But as a lot of, like, the avid, you know, video game fans already know, Ensemble closed its doors shortly after releasing this game for reasons that are still today not very well, you know, publicized.
Yeah, that's really weird that immediately after launching this title, they just had a press release talking about the fact that they're closing the studio. Which is weird, considering the amount of money and time that went into this.
Yeah.
And the production values, which are amazing.
Yep.
And, you know, just, I would think that they would wait for the sales figures to see if there was something that they needed to do. Now, I heard, like, you know, rumblings on the internet, and, you know, take this with a grain of salt, was that there was a lot of infighting at the studio. A lot of people thought they were all the boss, and maybe that's why they had to close. Now, it wasn't like Clover, where a lot of these niggas, they had talent,
yeah,
and they're like, yeah, we're going to make these games, and they're going to hopefully sell well, like Beautiful Joe and Akali. And then, you know, great games didn't sell. I'm pretty sure that because this says Halo on it, it will do well. It will do very well, because it says Halo and then Wars.
I don't know. That is kind of weird that it, perhaps it was a, I think it more likely was a monetary issue.
Yeah.
Because if they was just so broke that they could only pray they could get through the production of the game, and then when they got to the end, they simply just didn't have enough, so then they had to go bankrupt or something like that. That would make some level of sense, even though they couldn't, because if they got so broke they couldn't function anymore, they couldn't wait for the profits to come back.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is, we'll probably see what happens after they show the profit margins. Like, when the NPD numbers come out for March, next month, which are the April numbers, they'll come out, and we'll see what happened. I mean, because if the game sells well, we may see a lot of those people being absorbed into other studios or something like that. Because, you know, the rumblings are that the Bungie's working on another Halo. Because why not?
Well, there's Halo Recon. There's no data, I don't think.
It's not ODST? Called Recon. It's called OTST.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
ODST.
Right. So that'll come out eventually.
It's probably coming out this year.
Yeah.
Probably out this year. Probably a holiday this year. No, don't hold me to that. Whatever.
I don't know.
It's like God of War is supposed to come out this year, too, but who knows?
Irrelevant.
Exactly. So, about Halo Wars, this is not, obviously, a first-person shooter.
No.
This is a RTS, or for those who are not in the computer-centric gaming community, this is a real-time strategy game. That is to say that you take control of units on a screen, and you build up bases. And it's basically like glorified forts that, you know, hold troops and other armaments.
It's like Risk.
Really?
Or, you know, something like that, except animated and more fun. And, you know, you don't get to walk over and kick your little, your competitor's guys off the board with flicking your fingers.
I guess you could say it's like Risk because, in a sense, it's, you know, you have to take over territories properly. But more so, this is a strategy game, obviously,
yeah.
RTS. The S in strategy is RTS. and you have to take control of units, but you also have to strategize and build proper units that go up against certain units, because you're not going to fight a flying enemy with a stick and a man. Like, that's dumb. So obviously you want people who can handle anti-air or anti-air units. And the game does a pretty good job of balancing, you know, different units for proper uses in the game. We could just go ahead and we can talk about the storyline. We can talk about the campaign first.
Okay.
Give them a little bit about the campaign. I mean, the game obviously starts off... This game, first and foremost, takes place 20 years before the events of Halo 1.
Yeah.
So please don't get your hopes all high that you're going to see Master Chief in this game. He has nothing to do with this game. Although there are Spartan units.
And they are bad.
And they're awesome. Like, yo, you'll get Spartan units and you'll realize why you can only have three of them at a time. Because they are the...
Like chain guns and Spartan leaves.
Like, yo, they have a little Spartan... Which is funny, they have stuff that's not in the other Halo
Yeah, they have,
games.
Like, future stuff that's Halo not in Halo 2
they have
or
Halo
3
weapons in Halo before Halo. But, I mean... In the before Halo
they
game.
They can explain that, I'm sure.
How? Like, the technology was lost.
It was a prototype. Sure, there you go. Prototype Spartan lasers.
I mean, also, you didn't have access to any of the stuff in Halo 1 because, like, you got to Halo and you were on Halo. Like, yeah. You had what they brought with you, which wasn't much.
So I guess that could be one of those things where it's like, you know, we didn't bring all the resources that we should have. Like, they just dropped Master Chief and he's like, so what do you do? It's like, here's a knife. And he just went about business.
I'm actually a little curious, though. If someone's going to be, you know, anal enough to do this. I wonder what kind, if you can really verify that they're using pre-Halo 1 or Halo 1 armor.
I'm pretty sure there are websites dedicated to the history and foundation of Halo.
They're using armor that looks like it's designed to the spec of, like, Halo 2 and 3. Because the first game, he just looked like a huge, like, blocky kind of thing.
He had, like, horns almost.
Yeah, but now, like the Spartans, they all have different types of armor, and it's all, like detailed and angular, like in 2.
Yeah, really.
So it's like, I don't know, a lot of that stuff looks like the design elements were pulled more so from the recent games. Like, they also have, like, the, I think the Hornet aircraft.
Yes.
Yeah, that were definitely was
that
not
were in, like, 3 specifically.
Yeah.
And they have the ATVs, which are in 3 specifically.
Exactly. It's like, good job with that.
The continuity is kind of weird, but it's
but
like...
whatever.
It's
I'm thinking there's
the Scarabs, which are definitely 2 and 3.
That's something that I'm thinking... Once again,
like lots of
scares, I think that goes along with what Lawrence is saying,
yeah,
with the idea of they had stuff available to them, but when they dropped Master Chief, because remember, when they were dropping Master Chief, it was
no,
like...
No, but the Covenant weren't deploying Scarabs on
in
Halo
1. Are you kidding me?
But that can also be explained because they weren't just carrying Scarabs on the freaking battleship. Like,
how do you think they got on the Earth?
They had bigger battleships. Like, I don't know.
Either way, that doesn't really make sense. But you're playing this game more so because you are a Halo... Like, really, this is because you are a Halo fan or because you're looking for something that can be a competent real-time strategy game on the 360. Because, mind you, RTSs are generally fashioned for mouse and keyboard play, which is funny because I don't understand why the Xbox doesn't support
mouse and keyboard.
It's a Microsoft console.
Copious amounts of first-person shooting.
And that's funny, but this works.
Had mouse and keyboard.
It damn sure did.
This works. But this game works, though. You have to say that for the controller controls...
Getting, oh, no, definitely not.
Getting selecting units, getting in and issuing commands, selecting, you know, all your units or a certain amount of units, all that's fashioned to the D-pad, and then everything else is fashioned to the face buttons. It's all very intuitive, actually.
Yeah.
And it's still that from Reggie Fils-Aimé. The 360 is intuitive. Oh, man. So, the game starts off, the campaign starts off, you're on the UNSC ship. What is that, the Spirit of Fire?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's the Spirit of Fire, and you're dropped on this colony that is taken over by the Covenant, that has been taken over by the Covenant for, like, 6 years prior, and you're here... With, what's his name? Forge?
Yeah.
And you're trying to take back or gain back ground on this planet. You realize that this is one of the strongholds you need in order for the UNSC forces to even have any kind of a chance against the Covenant.
Yeah, and it's the first human colony, I believe, that was...
Exactly.
It's like towards the beginning of the Halo Wars.
Exactly. So
wars.
They didn't want to lose this foothold. It's kind of like, I guess you could equate it to Jacinto in Gears of War. Or, it's like the last human stronghold. You don't want to lose that.
If you're one of those Halo people that read the books. It's sort of like, it's like Reach, except before Reach.
Okay.
It's like the first, like, think about it this way. Like, let's say you build, like, the Earth is the center and then there's bases around it. This is like the first line of the defense, right?
Yeah.
And then whereas Reach was the first line of oh crap, we're all gonna die because they're really right next to Earth right now.
Okay, yeah.
So
exactly. So they send Forge here and they're trying to gain back ground, and the game starts off by giving you small tasks to basically break you into using the 360 controller for this new type of experience. Because once again, you turn this on and you're like, why isn't this in first person? Because you bought Halo Wars, not Halo 3. And
yeah.
You take control of a Warthog, which, you know, for anyone who's played Halo, you know what a Warthog is.
Yeah.
And for those who haven't played Halo...
Seriously.
That's scary. That's a scary point. There are people who haven't played... Like,
there are
any
people
of the
360s that haven't played Halo.
That's like people who haven't played Street Fighter 2 in the arcade, and they're our age group. That's really...
Yeah, that's...
That would be really sad.
I mean, I guess there are kids growing up who haven't played Halo.
Wait, yeah. Are they Bubble Boys?
Maybe.
There are kids growing up who haven't played Street Fighter. That's
that's really sad.
But...
Seriously, all kids, go back. If you're underneath 10 years old, go back and... Or even if you're over 10 years old and you haven't played Street Fighter 2, go out, find an arcade, and lose to a Honda or something. Seriously.
But really, that's not the scope of the show. We're talking about Halo Wars, and we want people to understand that Halo Wars is a fashionable RTS on the 360. So once again, you take control of this first Warthog, and you find yourself having to go to waypoints. So you go from waypoint to waypoint... You take out a couple grunts, take out another couple Covenant soldiers, and then you move to your first base. Now, the base mechanic, I must say, is an amazing thing that they figured out for the 360.
Yeah, the base mechanic
is
ridiculously awesome.
And it looks
awesome.
Gorgeous. Like the game itself runs very well, has very little slowdown issues. Like, when you get a lot of people doing a lot of things all at the same time, like, you get a whole bunch of people around
the
base.
That's pretty much everybody.
And you throw them all at the enemy base, and they throw out all their dudes because they open up the gate, then it gets stupid then. But beforehand, it all runs very smoothly. But once again, going back to the base mechanic, you get your base, and you build up your first initial fort. Once you build that up, you have little, I guess you call them bunkers, or modules, that you can place other, like, things on top of. Now, you can build one, like, you can build a barracks, so you could house your Marines. You could build a reactor so that you could have more science resources. You can build weapons depots and research centers
depots,
and supply depots. So that obviously, like this game, I guess I should say, you use supplies in order to build up and make units and stuff like that. So like the first way that you're going to get supplies in the game is by doing recon missions with your Warthogs or your Marines and looking for crates.
Yeah.
There are crates scattered all out the game for some reason. They just have, like, it's like resources. Like, I wonder why these are here. And you take the resources and you use them to build up your base. Now, once you build your base, you can build, like, a resource depot, and resources will constantly be streaming, and you're going to need them.
Yeah.
Because once you start building, like, the higher level stuff, like, once you get to your, you know, scarabs and your,
your Spartans.
Yeah, your Spartans. Like, they cost money. And you know, the varying amounts and details with the different types of units that they have available for the game, you have to think to yourself, you know, each one is specified for each different thing that they're doing in the game. So, like, you'll use a Spartan to go up against certain enemies, and you'll use a Scarab to go up against certain enemies. Like, every unit is designed and has a counter unit on the Covenant side.
If not one or two.
Exactly. And it's like, the Covenant isn't just going to sleep on you. Like, so, if you start playing the game, and you're like, I might not build my base, let me go look around first and look for stuff. Covenant will come to you. They will bring the fight to you.
Yeah. Not to
they
mention,
don't. They
you
don't
better,
waste a lot of time.
You better build those. Oh no! Also in your base, you can build anti aircraft and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can build turrets around all your.
Yeah, you better
defenses.
Start that up early because they fly and you don't.
Yeah, you definitely don't early at all. So another big thing about this game is the fact that the game supports. In fact, like, it has a very robust component for co-op.
Yeah.
It not only...
And multiplayer in general.
It not only offers versus, like, 1v1, not even 2v2, you can have 3-on-3 skirmishes.
In a real-time strategy.
In a real-time strategy game. And it's fun.
That's sick.
It's very sick, and it's fun. And it's almost sad that they wasted all those resources and all this potential on a Halo-branded game. that almost makes me sad. Like, how come Command & Conquer wasn't this? Like, Command & Conquer on the 360 was Supreme garbage.
Commander, was Supreme Commander kind of bad, too, on the 360?
I never even played it.
It was all right in the PC, but...
But once again, it worked for the PC. Yeah. Like, they tried to make it work for the 360, but you had to click in the analog stick and then hit face buttons in order to do certain attacks.
Not to mention that, but I know the 360, when it was trying to handle 300 versus 300 unit battles, just melted.
Didn't work, yeah.
Just melted.
Yeah, it couldn't handle that. But it does it surprisingly well for Halo Wars. Yeah. Now, mind you, the cutscenes in Halo Wars are very, very pretty. Like, you watch these cutscenes and you say to yourself, wow, I wonder if they could ever make a Halo game that looked like this.
Yeah, it's basically, like, movie-quality CG they got going on. Yeah,
like, you watch the cutscenes and, like, they're intriguing. Like, the actual video that you see, like, it goes together with that narrative. And it doesn't make you think that... Wow, this is just some, you know, pre-rendered footage that they made, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's like Final Fantasy Spirits Within quality looking stuff.
Yeah,
except or like Dirge of Cerberus, whatever you want to call it. Except it's good.
Okay.
Because those are both trash, but it's good. It's good.
Yeah, it's very good. And once again, the narrative stays, I guess, as much on point as you can in a game like this. Like. You think, like, the games like this, like your Halos, your Killzones, and all your other first-person shooters, like, the narrative that they try to throw into Resistance, it's like, man versus, you know, extreme odds, such and such happens, you know, whatever, who cares. This, you actually find yourself caring a little bit more about the characters, and if you are, once again, a 360 fanboy who decides that you need to have something that connects you to the Halo universe, and you've read those books, and you played Halo 1, 2, and 3... Play Halo Wars, you'll get an engrossing story that keeps you compelled to continue playing the campaign, because campaign's actually very, very involved, and the campaign's long, and the missions are not easy. Mm-hmm. It's like it goes from, hey, this is kind of simple, to no, and then, no. like just Dilbert, it gets dumb. It gets dumb fast.
The second or third time that you have to deal with Scarabs walking up to your base... And your Colossuses are all got stepped on.
Whatever, Scarabs walk up to your base, it's over anyway.
Yo, Scarabs, get to your base, turn your system off.
Just reset. There you go, reset. Reset the name of the title in our show. That's crazy. Like I always hated movies that did that. It's like, oh no, here it comes, the Boneyard. I'm like, why did you, like, is there a reason why you had to say the name of the movie in your movie? Dumb. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, like, obviously, I don't want to give away too much about gameplay, because I would really task people to go out, and at the very least, if you have a 360, please go out of your way. The demo is very indicative of what you're going to get in final gameplay.
And yeah, and it's online.
It's fun. And it's an online demo, which a lot of people are not offering.
$3.99.
Well, you have to have you don't have to have a gold account anymore.
No. It's been up there for a while. So
you can go get it, even with your silver accounts, but you should have a silver account. And get the game. Like, download the game and give it a try. I really don't want to talk too much about the units, because there are certain units you'll get in the game.
And you'll just be like, oh, this
like,
in the game.
Why are they here? Like, oh, man. Like, and it ties into the Halo universe very well, minus the continuity errors.
So it's grievous, the continuity errors.
So many.
Like, it's like, yo, we have Spartan lasers, and we have these units that are in a game that's not even nothing.
We have dudes that do dumb stuff from flying things. This is, oh, man.
And it's like, but the story itself is compelling enough to propel you through the game, and you can do it in co-op, which is awesome.
The whole game.
You can do the whole game in co-op, which I would recommend anyway, because tackling that by yourself, some of those objectives are dumb. It's like, do it with a partner to get through it for achievements.
Or when you both lose, you can blame it on him.
Yeah, really. You can blame it on science.
Yeah.
Blame it on someone other than yourself.
Exactly.
When the flood devours you both, then you can just blame it on him.
Ooh, spoiler alert.
No. We said that there are different factions in the game. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but really?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that the flood are in the game.
How do you have a Halo game without the flood?
But maybe niggas didn't want to know that.
We didn't say, like, the F word.
We did. We said the flood.
No, we said the other one. The other ones have an F word, too.
Other what?
Forerunners.
Oh.
Thank you for making me say it.
That's not a spoiler. You mentioned that in all 30
you
games.
You expect the Forerunners to be... No, they tell you that in the beginning of the game. Like, in the opening cutscene, they tell you that the Forerunners have taken over your planet. No, I'm done. Whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. And you know the Flood... It's like, this takes place before Halo 1, so you know the Flood has to be there.
Yeah.
It has to be there.
Because you didn't kill him. I mean, Halo 3, that's... Oh, well, see, there you go. That's continuity. They actually kept it right, because the Flood are around.
We're talking about the fact that they have weapons in a game that takes place 20 years. Like, technology takes time to...
Well,
to
no, advance. Wait. Halo 3 was after Halo, so it was more than 20 years for the Scarabs and that sort of stuff.
But we're saying Halo Wars takes place 20 years before Halo 1.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, some of the stuff is even more than 20 years out of whack.
Like, as far as, like, science is concerned, but...
Yeah, yeah, really.
Either way, I would definitely recommend, you know, for people to go out and give this game a chance. It's just like, and I do apologize that we talk so much about 360 games, but...
They unfortunately, they're just coming out with a lot, right?
They just,
now,
like,
you know?
They happen to have a very robust gaming calendar.
Yeah, Microsoft is getting the licenses they need to put out good games, whereas Sony is just sitting, just...
It's like, I would love to sit around and talk about, like, other games coming out. I mean, like, I task you people, send me emails, send me video mails, I don't care. Send me something to my YouTube page, you know, which is Reset the Game Show, and let me know what you guys would like us to start reviewing. Because, what else do we have coming forward? Other than this.
Killzone 2?
Are we talking about Killzone 2? No, because we're not even done talking about Halo Wars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah. Really. No, I'm just saying, I mean, that's the only... That
this is something, but this is something that we can go over, and we can discuss, yeah. Obviously, on our Donovan McNabb time. Our Don time. That's what I call it, because guess what? Next game, Godfather 2, Don. Don time. Oh, why do you say it, like, you know what? That game looks awesome. I have some DLC for it. They give you a special care. Anyway, speaking of DLC, we are offering some really awesome exclusive downloadable content as a kind of contest thing for people listening to the show. It's like anyone out there who has Halo Wars and, you know, likes to use the Warthog unit, I have right here a exclusive pre-order premium bonus for in-game to put flame decals all over your Warthog. It's a danger on the side. It looks awesome, though, I will say that. And we'll give this to you for $3.99. All you have to do is come over to the J1 Studios forums and go to the contest section. There's going to be a thread called Halo Wars, so it's not going to be hard to miss. And all you have to do is tell us why you deserve this content the most. Person who gives us the most compelling reason why they deserve it gets it. It's like after that I'll send you a PM, and all you have to do is send me, you know, obviously your mailing address, and I'll mail it to you. I'll put up a picture of it on the form as well, so that you know I'm legit. Because like, oh man, this dude don't have no flaming decal Warthog. I do. I do. I have lots of stuff to give away, actually. I wish people were more, you know, on the forums. I give away lots of stuff. I have all kinds of Street Fighter paraphernalia and Killzone paraphernalia and posters and t-shirts.
I got enough games I'm giving away.
Now. Yeah, I'd have games I'd give away, too. But, you know, whatever. Guys, got to get on the forum at www.studios.com, and you have to tell us what you would like us to review next. Seriously, become active in your gaming show. Let us reset the game for you. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back after these messages.
When the call came to fight, we answered.
Bring the ship to alert.
At first, we didn't know who or what we were up against. By the time we figured it out, we realized that to survive, we couldn't do this alone. We would need an army. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Hope you guys enjoyed the commercial break. We're going to talk real quick about something that has been on our minds for the past week. As you guys know, Resident Evil 5 was released last week for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 console. And obviously, review scores have been coming out now. And a lot of the review scores, unfortunately, don't really add up to what Resident Evil 5 deserves. And we just wanted to talk a little bit about why we believe, you know, the aggregate score right now for Resident Evil 5 on Metacritic is at 85, but the score for, you know, Afro Samurai is at 92. Doesn't make any sense. So, I guess this will be our roundtable discussion for this week. And we'll try to, because I'd like to introduce a new segment, so we'll call this the Algonquin Roundtable. Algonquin Roundtable. Every once in a while we'll get some people together. Or we'll throw together some thoughts and a topic. So there you go. Go.
Well,
So Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
Well, as you know, we reviewed the game last week, and we pretty much gave it like 5 stars, 10 out of 10, whatever possibly you could give it to justify that it is a purchase that you must have, because it is in every way, shape, or form that a game can be perfect. Meaning it may have one or two flaws, but like for the most part, it's just ridiculous amounts of fun.
Yeah, very.
Now
much
a
so.
Lot of people have been on the side, and they've been giving a lot of negative comments to a lot of the things that we were praising it for. Like, and by contrast, those reviews don't dwell on a lot of, like, the positives, and they skew more so towards, like, overblowing some of, like, what could be considered negatives if you've been playing the game for, like, 80 hours or so. And it's like, a lot of people have been complaining specifically about the environment, the controls,
yes,
the inventory system,
yes,
and the co-op mechanics, either with another person or by yourself.
Very much so.
None of the, like, all of these things that I can testify, speaking for myself, that I haven't had problems with, and I've been playing the game for upwards of 40 hours.
Yeah, I put RPG time on this game. Don't believe me? I'll take a picture of it, send it to you.
Like, really? It's like And to verify my skill and the amount of time I put in the game, I am ranked in the leaderboards for my finishing time
for the game
in veteran, and I'm pretty high up on the list. So it's like, yeah, I played the game. I played the game very well.
Give me a number.
I broke the top 100.
Really?
In the world.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Broke the top 50?
I haven't checked yet. Last I checked, I did.
I have. I checked, because I check every day.
Last I checked, it was up
there.
We
were ranked 25 and 26 in the world. Now we're 30 and 31.
Yeah.
It's like, really, don't believe it? Mad Raven Sword. L Money.
L Money.
Go look them up. They exist on the internet.
Done.
So, it can be done. Not even that it can be done. It's like, there are people who are better than us. They're Asian.
It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the skill in the game. It's like, people are down in the game because of aspects of the game that they either don't grasp or are incapable of understanding. It's like, people came into this experience, and I guess they were like, we played Gears of War 2, and as far as survival horror is concerned, we played, like, Dead Space and Silent Hill Homecoming.
Okay.
And they got Resident Evil, and they were like, even in Silent Hill, you can move and shoot. But, again, it's like, the combat in those games is like,
it leaves much to be desired.
Yeah.
There's never a time when I can remember, well, maybe Gears of War, but definitely Resident Evil is special in that, especially Resident Evil after Resident Evil 3 and 4, is special because you will have a screen full of zombies chasing you all over the place, and you have to do traps, you have to do tricks, you have to kind of, you can't just sit, it's like Day of the Dead, except you're actually playing as the main character, and you can't have a main character that's carrying around freaking 18 different kinds of guns with you. I mean, you can't do that. It's not, I want to stress this. It's not a shooting game. It is not a shooting game. I'll say it one more time. No está un juego de shooting. It's not. It is a survival horror game. Está un juego de survival horror. I'm saying it in more than one language because I don't think people quite get it.
Because the bulk of our listener base are the people who are complaining in that language. Oh, man, oh, Chris, you hit my fucking bone today, man.
Oh, no, but seriously, like, further, like, let's go into this, like, whole survival horror term and what it means to each of us, and apparently what it means to the journalists or people who would have themselves be called journalists.
Can we just talk about the fact that that word survival horror, like, what is the first survival horror game you ever played?
Alone in the Dark on a PC.
You. Alone in the Dark on PC. What's the first survival horror game you ever played, Chris?
Like, not the loot, not, I need to clarify, like, not to cut you off, but not the new Alone in the Dark that they put out on Dreamcast and PS1. Like, the original nasty looking one on, like, an Apple.
I mean, if they gave it a Carrier or a Resident Evil 1 or something, it was pretty, not early, yes, but pretty early.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And I would like to think that term, survival horror, is something that, as time went on, allowed itself to evolve into something much more. Like, once again, you have to think about the characters and the people in these situations. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Take Chris Redfield, for instance. He was in a really crappy situation in a mansion that had to do with a lot of stuff that hurt his feelings. I guess that first time, a lot of that stuff would scare the hell out of you, too. You ever seen a zombie? No. No. No.
Yes.
You've never seen a real zombie.
I put zombies down every day, dude.
Unless you're from Haiti.
But what I'm saying is, you're put in that situation and that freaks you out. Happens again. You know what? I'm a little desensitized to this. It's like, you know, the first time you ever played Mortal Kombat. Oh my god, you uppercut a dude, blood just comes all out of him, and you hit him once and like four spleens and like 14, like, you know, things come out and they just got bones, and it's dumb. But after a while, you become desensitized to that. And I think at the same point, Chris Redfield became desensitized, and they made that story mold around that. So that, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't scary so much as it is something that is stress-inducing. Because, remember, fear is tied to stress.
Yeah.
You get stressed enough, put your ass in a coma. Like, really. And you have to think that Chris Redfield's been through a lot of stress-inducing moments. And at this point, Exactly, just another, to quote 50 Cent.
You can't, it uses, there's a lot of different ways that you can cause someone's stress and anxiety.
But really, what's the standard question you're asking? What is survival horror to each of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is survival horror to you, Greg?
To me, it is, there's a couple of things that the survival horror game needs. It needs a story, needs compelling characters, because if you don't have a story, then it's not survival horror, it's just splatterfest or something. And if you don't have engaging characters, then you're not going to care that you're about to get murdered. So, Okay. Whatever. On top of that, now this is the sticker that Res Evil is straddling here. Res Evil 1 and 2 and Carrier and Code Veronica, that's what the older ones, were much more weighted towards you have, like, a lighter and a knife, and you have to kill 1,000 zombies. Or you can be intelligent and run away from the zombies and get to your objective and survive, which is survival. And the horror part was the fact that things were chasing you and trying to eat you. Now, because people are more in for action games, people have been playing Halo, people have been playing, you know, GoldenEye stuff.
Aforementioned Gears.
I mean, we're going to throw it all the way back there. People have been asking for more and more action in their survival horror games, and so they've been giving it to us. And Resident Evil 4 and 5, because they're real, they're similar, but Resident Evil 5 is obviously better, have really nailed down, I think, a good balance. Because you can shoot really well in this game. You can. I mean, it's very accurate. It's not the quickest moving system in the world.
You can change your aiming settings, though. Like,
yeah, it's not quick because it is survival horror. You can't strafe. You can strafe in this game, which I don't. Reason I don't know why they added that, but whatever.
You ever get a hatchet thrown at you from 20 feet?
I'll take it, but you can shoot the hatchet out there. I mean, I'll take the
strafing. I just usually step over.
True. I will take the strafing.
But that's cool, but you don't need to be able to run.
You don't need to be able to run and shoot. The whole point is that you have a zombie walking towards you, and you have to stand in front of it and watch the zombie try and eat you while you're shooting him in the face. That is the whole point of Resident Evil.
Okay, so survival horror for you needs to have a compelling story.
And it has to have difficult combat
development. And combat that obviously leads itself or is indicative of something that is not very... I shouldn't say stupid, but something that's not easy.
Yeah,
you shouldn't just be running around just like, boom, active reloading, running and shooting zombies in the
face. Then it's Halo. Halo is playing against the flood.
It's like, then you're God.
Yeah.
Then you're Marcus Phoenix.
Then you don't have to do to the enemy patterns. in their attack patterns to make them combat.
They'd have to be like super duper fast, chain wielding, pistol shooting zombies. No one wants that.
Yeah, nobody wants zombies with guns, right?
Remember the Day of the Dead 3 when it had the zombies and guns and the zombies had like laser sighted SMGs and crap? Like, you don't want that.
That wasn't a Day of the Dead. Nobody had like a laser sighted SMG. Right, there was the one dude who had the M16 because he was a soldier before he died.
What was the one? It was the Land of the Dead. It was the one with the ugly looking black guy from Friday.
Land of the Dead?
Maybe. There was one, I remember there was a stupid trailer.
Yeah, it was probably Land of the Dead. Or it was.
But Land of the Dead, who cares? Like,
yeah, with John Leguizamo. Excrement.
I don't care. But no, what I'm getting at is essentially a lot of people have gone out of their way to review this game negatively for many aspects. One being that it is no longer survival horror. But, you know, for the last 5 years, have clamored for more Resident Evil 4. And what Resident Evil 4 did to change that genre, and are mad because Resident Evil 5 does exactly that in droves. And then on top of that, another thing that a lot of people are getting mad at, in fact, a lot of people who aren't gaming journalists and just regular journalists, like everyday Joe Blow, Jack Black people, have decided that they need to review this game too, because obviously this is a phenomenon. And they're reviewing this game solely based on the culture phenomenon that is the fact that this game takes place in Africa, in Southern Africa, in fictional... Southern Africa. This place does not exist. Kijuju does not exist.
Kijuju is not a town neighboring an ocean.
You can't go to Kijuju. You can go to Silent Hill.
You can't go to Kijuju. Not to mention that, my fiance is African, and actually she played the game, and she was like, yo, this is not even insulting, because this has nothing to base on reality whatsoever. The language is... They speak Spanish! These are African zombies speaking Spanish! Like, seriously, guys? This is not based on anything.
Yeah,
real.
But once again,
like, way to make an observation, people.
But here's the thing I'm getting at is the fact that this game is a work of fiction,
completely and utterly.
I'm happy that they don't do like the old like disclaimer like they used to for the old games. It's like, this game is solely a work of fiction. This game contains violence and gore. It's like, at this point, but notice how they don't put those there anymore, because we've come to realize that the games have to have that or else they don't sell.
Yeah.
But on top of that, the only thing that I want to get at is the fact that this game is developed by the Japanese. Japanese developers made this game. Japanese people, in general, have a very different sense of the world and culture that is surrounding not just other people other than, you know, people from Japan, but black people in general.
It's an island nation.
Exactly, it's an island nation, and you have to understand that coming out of World War II, a lot of bad things had happened to these people, and they had to bounce back from a very, very strong crisis. And one thing that they attached themselves to was once the world started becoming more and more televised, like once people got more information from the television, and God bless it, is, you know, one of the reasons why the civil rights movement was able to move forward was because of the advent of the television. And they attached, like, latched on to that subculture and that subgroup of, you know, African Americans, because that's what we're calling them, because those are people, black people who live in America, or we call them African, just Americans, that are being, you know, ostracized because of their skin color. And they jumped on to black culture, and they love it. They love it to death. So, I mean, we're looking at people who have absolutely no ties to civil rights, no ties to slavery, other than what they did to the Chinese, and and no ties to, you know, what would be considered, you know, racism in a game. And people are reviewing the game based on that fact.
Yeah.
Only that fact, not gameplay, which, you know, is something that you review games on.
Yeah.
Not story, which is something you review games on. Not graphics, which is something you review games on. But social context. And, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Resident Evil 5, I mean, as awesome as it is not going to make me feel one way or the other about black people. Or for the white people, for that matter.
I don't know.
Really?
We have monsters for
that. I've never played a game that's made me feel anything about anything.
Well, we have, what? Four black people in the room at the moment. Does anybody terribly upset by the portrayal of Spanish-speaking Africans in Resident Evil 5?
I was slightly amused when I got to the marshlands.
Yeah.
That's the only emotion I got, was like a chuckle.
It's like when the dude rolled out on me and said, woo, la, 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 la. I was like, wow, this could be creepy. And that dude was like, boom, and he killed me. And I was like, oh, this is different, whatever. I'm done being as upset as I could be. I'm more upset at the fact that he hit me and I died. And the fact that they can jump standing like 20 feet in the air. Just like, They're on you, and they got like shaman sticks and.
I mean, but we didn't have a bunch of Spanish people rolling up on Resident Evil 4 and saying, "I don't appreciate you saying you having us."
Yeah, but once again, it's just remember these are what people jump onto, and this is what I think the reason why people have made such a big deal about the racism in this game is because so many people are still caught up on that. Like that, you have to imagine the social the social stigma that's stuck with this game.
Yeah.
And not even just this game, but the social stigma that's stuck with racism.
And African-Americans in general.
In the world, with African-Americans, is the fact that there are so many Anglo-Americans who are still caught up on the idea that they have this game that blatantly shows a very Angloid male shooting black people in the face. It's like, oh no, maybe we need to talk about racism because, oh my gosh, I still feel so bad about racism sometimes and the fact that I have my Louis Vuitton handbag and sometimes black people make that. Yeah. So maybe they feel like that, you know, that inward hate that you feel sometimes? Like, sometimes people are like, I need to talk about this, because if I don't talk about it, it makes it seem like I'm an insensitive prick, and I don't care about, you know, the plight of other people and their situation. No, seriously, because a lot of people... No, because Jason is giving me this freaking look, like, he doesn't understand. You want to
I
hate when people do that.
No, I completely understand.
Because they go out of their way to say, like... People are like, oh no, this could get awkward, this could be strange, so maybe I should say something. Because if you don't say something about the racism in the game, it makes you look like a racist. And it doesn't! I don't care, it's a video game!
It's not about the race.
Let it go.
People are afraid that Obama's going to bring on the zombie apocalypse. Obama. That's all.
Obama got other things to worry about.
Like, yo. Stem cell research is what does it, right?
Yep.
We'll start getting concerned when a new like pharmaceutical company shows up.
Yep.
And
remember, he was talking about the medical. He wants to. That was his whole speech. I'm done. I'm gonna pack my bags.
I'm out.
I would suggest, in the light of the new information we were just getting about the president being a zombie evil overlord, I might suggest going out and buying, I don't know, some duct tape. What did President Bush? Duct tape and canned goods.
And Resident Evil 5 to train.
Resident Evil 5.
You'll learn everything you need to know. Because, you know, last time I checked, there are more African Americans than there are white people. There are more Spanish people than there are white people.
That was Resident Evil 4.
You better watch it. So Resident Evil 4 was training for the first.
There are more Hispanic people than anyone.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, yo, so Resident Evil 4 was
in the
first
US
wave
anyway.
Of training for the zombies, and then Resident Evil 5 is obviously the second wave that's going to start.
And then the third wave is going to be the Asian community. They're going to be Chinese. And
Resident Evil 6 is going to take place in Japan.
In Okinawa, they're all going to have, like, signs, and they're all going to do...
Washa!
And then stab you with the sign.
And they're all going to do, like, roundhouse kicks and backflips and shit.
They all will come with bullet time. They will be able to do
just be a John Woo film?
Yep. And you'll get two gun action.
All right, now seriously, though, like, now the discussion has just devolved into some other kind of podcast that we're not. Because we're a respectable podcast that tries to talk about the issues.
We try to be.
And, you know, not just random nonsense. We try to back our stuff up with fact. And, you know, not eight people. So, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, we ain't Donkey Kong. We ain't throwing barrels. Get to the top of our ladder. Save your princess in another castle. This is Reset for... I don't even know what today's date is.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. But really, this is Reset Episode 9. And
is
you
it?
Guys have... Yeah, really, yeah. 8 to 9. Yeah. We're almost at 10. Yeah. I guess we have to talk about something special next week.
Porn.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about proms.
More porn.
If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, you guys can jump over to the Reset
form. Oh, we should say a quick word about the inventory system, too. Because we forgot that.
No, whatever. Who cares? It's done now.
No, the game's great. Look.
If you complain about inventory management, it's because you suck at the game.
Buy the game. The game is great. If you don't like it, you are inept. I'm sorry.
Like,
and if
matter.
You don't think you're inept, then get on the boards and tell me why you are not inept, and I will tell
it's
you
like, but even any of this
why you are.
Because guess what? All those aggregate scores and all the nonsense and all the bad publicity, guess what? To date, Resident Evil 4 has shipped, or Resident Evil 5 has shipped 4 million copies. Eat it. Done. It's over. So whatever. It's like for the end of the month, it'll probably sell all 4 million of those, if not more. It's like holla back at your boy when you're ready with some stuff and you got some real stuff to talk about. So, this is it. This is Reset. Get on the J1 forums. Go to www.j1studios.com. Get on the forums. Talk to us. You don't like what we're saying? Change it.
Remember the contest.
With your voice.
Remember.
The contest. It's currently going on until the end of the month. Get on the forums. And if you get anyone else to join the forum, have them say your name in the contest thread. And you, once again, we're giving away $50. $53.
For the store.
On the site.
We're also giving away, the Halo Wars downloadable content. Yes. Also, so if you post something interesting in the thread that we're going to put up in the contest boards, specifically for the Halo Wars contest, then guess what? You get Warthogs with flame paint jobs on them. And you want that because you want to be the guy online with flame Warthogs while the other dude's going, how did you get that, dude?
There'll probably be 100 other ones, so you'll be one of the 100. So, anyway, guys, that's Reset for this week. We don't have a topic for next week yet, but we'll figure it out and we'll let you know. Alright, so, see you guys. Bye.
Peace.
Peace.
Reset is now complete. The dust. Dusty carpet.
Game is corrupt. Please press the reset button.